Good morning, everyone. We're happy to be here with you on this special holy day. So I want to begin by asking a question. Are you excited for the feast? What are you looking forward to the most? Now, as you think about that, I have another question. What feast are you thinking of? Now, I know most of us, when we hear the word feast, we instantly think about the Feast of Tabernacles. We start planning for it months in advance. You know, some of us picked our locations back all the way in May. We've been figuring out where we're going to travel, where we're going to stay, what we're going to do. And I think in all the excitement that we have with the Feast of Tabernacles, and it is an exciting time, it's such a great time with so much meaning, but sometimes that excitement, I think, can overlook the importance of some of the other fall holy days. I don't remember if anyone's ever told me, I'm so excited for the Feast of Trumpets, you know, months away, or I can't wait for the Day of Atonement. No, we don't hear that too often because we're so excited for the Tabernacles and what those days picture, and that's great. But today I want to talk about why we should be so excited for this day as well, the Feast of Trumpets and what it represents. So today we're going to look at a couple reasons why this day is so important to us and why we should be so excited for this holy day, the Feast of Trumpets. So to begin, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:50, the resurrection chapter. We begin in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Here we'll see what the Apostle Paul has to say about the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." So that's talking about this day, what this day pictures. At that last trumpet, that seventh trumpet and the seventh seal. That's today, and it pictures this resurrection. For it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So that's where I want to stop there. But it's so amazing. That's what this day pictures, us changing into spirit beings. This day pictures the end of what we're dealing with in this physical life. It's our goal when we receive eternal life, when we become a part of God's family. That's what this day pictures to all of us, the first fruits in God's plan. The Feast of Tabernacles is awesome and amazing, but it's about the rest of mankind. This is a day that's really about us and God's first fruits and the goal that we're waiting for. We're going to read a little bit more here as well in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to drop down to verse 57. It says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, this day is about our victory. This is our victory day, and how exciting and how amazing is that? And then 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So this day is when we reap all the benefits of living God's way of life. This is the culmination of all those things that we do. It's for what this day pictures, eternal life in God's family, becoming a true son and daughter of God and his family forever. This day should be so exciting for all the first fruits, because it has so much meaning for all of us. Now, another thing that this day pictures is the type of homecoming. So the Feast of Trumpets pictures us finally getting to go home. The Bible talks about us being ambassadors, pilgrims, sojourners. Now, we're aliens in another country. That's what the Bible says. And it's because we're not really from here. Now, we don't always fit in. We keep these holy days that other people think are strange. We do things that are different. And it's because we're not really from here. Let's read what Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3 and verse 20. So Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." So our citizenship, where we belong, what we belong to is the kingdom of heaven. That's our home. And this whole time we've been living, we've not been living in the kingdom of heaven. And this is the day that pictures us going home, our homecoming for the first time. And let's continue reading in verse 21. "Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is also able even to subdue all things to himself." So this is a day that all of God's power, everything that he does, how he overcomes everything, He uses that to turn us into spirit beings, into a part of his family on this day, on the Feast of Trumpets. That's what this day pictures, the fulfillment of. Let's also look at over in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. There's so many great inspiring things in Hebrews 11. And a lot of it pictures or concludes on what this day signifies. So let's begin in Hebrews 11 and verse 13. So it just talked about Abraham and some of the other men of faith through the Old Testament. And verse 13 begins, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So all these people lived knowing the promises that we know about God's plan of eternal life. But they all died not receiving those promises. And then it continues. "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they'd called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." So this is saying if they really loved where they came from, they could have turned around, they could have went back. Abraham could have went back, but he went where God sent him. And all these men of faith in Hebrews 11 went where God sent them. They forsook the land that they grew up in, or where they felt comfortable, to go where God sent them. And we have that same calling. And let's continue on a little bit more. This is verse 16. "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And this promise comes to us too. God has a city prepared for us, that on the fulfillment of this day, that's where we get to go. How amazing is that? Now, I do want to read these verses one more time, but also in the New Living Translation. I think it brings it out in a little different meaning. So in the New Living Translation, it says, "All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they are foreigners and nomads here on earth." Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to call them their God, and for he has prepared a city for them. So how awesome and inspiring can that be, that this is the day that homeland they all look forward to, that homeland we should be looking forward to, it's the day that fulfillment comes and we get to go home. Do we long for the fulfillment of this day, to a better place like they did? Or are we content just being here on the earth? I hope not. I hope we can see how great the promises are that God has promised us and the fulfillment of them on this day. I hope that we have this firmly fixed in our mind. We're going to read a little bit more here in Hebrews as well. So we're going to jump down to Hebrews verse 24 in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he'd become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." And this is what I want to focus on. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." This is the day that the reward comes for everything that we do, all for obeying God. This is the day that God has promised us. The reward is on this day, on the fulfillment of this day. Now I want to read one more section here as well in Hebrews 11. We're going to go to verse 32. We're actually going to read all the way through to verse 40. So Hebrews 32. I'm sorry, 11:32. It says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David, and Samuel and the prophets." So all these stories from the Bible that we know, of all these men of faith, all these great men. And Paul continues, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." How amazing are some of these stories. Then it continues, "Others that were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." That's what this day pictures, a better resurrection. "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. So here it talks about all the trials and the difficult times that can come on all Christians. But look at how exciting it ends in verse 39. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So after he talks about all these amazing men, all the things that they did, all the trials they went through, it says God is waiting to resurrect them until the fulfillment of this day when we all will be resurrected together as spirit beings. How awesome is this day and what it pictures? So do we have this firmly fixed in our minds? Are we striving to go home with all the other saints? We need to be excited for this day. When we talk about the feast, we should make sure we don't forget about the Feast of Trumpets and what it pictures. It's a reminder of God's plan for us, and it should be a wake-up call and a reminder of what he has in store for us if we follow his way. So it's a reminder of God's great plan and promises to us. It is our homecoming, along with all of God's saints. So let me ask you again, how excited are you for the feast?